We are in chapter 7. Chapter 7 continues the line of reasoning that was begun in chapter 6. 6, 7, and 8 are the Kalipa chapters. Uh-huh. Everything you'll ever need to know about Kalipa, you'll have it all by chapter 8. Uh-huh. Okay. Anyway, we left off talking last week about shelish klippas of tomatoes.
Yes.
Okay, anything that which you would deem as unkosher comes from shelish klippas of tomatoes, and it really doesn't warrant a whole lot of discussion in Tanya because the only thing you could do with it is walk away from it.
Right.
So, but one of the longer chapters in Tanya actually is chapter 7, which talks about klippas noga, which is literally translated as the shiny shell, but which means evil which is elevatable.
Yeah, isn't it considered, well, I don't know, that's not considered the neutral klipa, is it?
I don't know what you would mean by neutral, because Alter Rebbe,
that whatever's there could be either good or bad.
It could be either good or bad.
Right, the neutral.
But the Alter Rebbe doesn't pull any punches, and he says either it's good or bad.
Right, however it's dealt with.
It depends on how you're using it.
Right.
So, either you're fulfilling God's will or you're not with
right.
it. And he's the...
Once it comes into
your possession,
it's either or.
It's an either or.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he says, the nefesh ha-chayunis ha-bahamesh shebi Yisrael. But the animal in vitalizing soul. He gives it two adjectives to describe this soul. Okay, he calls it chayunis, which means enlivening.
Right.
And bahamis, which means animalistic.
Okay.
Because if we just use the term animal soul, so he automatically has a negative connotation.
Okay.
But the animal soul in a Jew doesn't necessarily have to have a negative connotation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We already said in Perek Aleph that you have people who have nice animals. Just by nature, they happen to be nice people without having to work on themselves.
Okay.
They happen to like doing things. And we said that Jews are by nature merciful and humble and like to do good deeds.
Okay.
So the animal soul that we have is a nice animal.
Uh-huh.
It can turn into not such a nice animal. It can run amok.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be bad.
Doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Right, okay.
So he said, this animal soul is an Egyptian, but it's not a Kalipa, which we said already in chapter 1, it comes from Kalipa. Hamaluveshes bedam ha'adam kanal, which is enclosed in the blood of the individual. Okay, which that is the animal soul, which is keeping the person alive.
Okay, pardon the rabbit trail for a second, but, and I'm not questioning yes or no. How does it come to understand that it's clothed in the blood?
Because there's a pusik that says, "V'nefesh habaser b'damhi," the soul of the flesh.
The life is in the blood.
Is in the blood.
Yes. It's out of
Vayikra. It's a portion of Vayikra.
That's right.
It talks about salting over there.
Yes, salting meat. That's right. Okay. Got it. Clear.
Okay.
Okay. Now I understand. Yeah.
Right. So the interesting thing, he refers to it as Hamulbashis Bedam Ha'adam. There are, generally speaking, four words in Hebrew that mean man.
Yeah.
Adam.
Ish.
Gever.
Never heard that one.
Gever. And
Enosh.
Enosh,
I've heard.
Okay.
What's Gever?
Gever means a person. The word Gever implies a strong person. The word Enosh implies a weak person.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, so the highest name is
Adam.
So why is it now? The animal soul is primarily rooted in the emotions.
Yeah.
So why is it that he uses over here the word Adam? He should use the word Halubashas Badam Ha'ish. It's rooted in the soul of the Ish, which is, Ish is a word which is, connotes emotion, whereas Adam connotes intellect. Okay? So the Rebbe Rishab doesn't exactly answer this question, but asks a question, a similar question, in reference to people getting tzaraas.
Okay.
Person gets tzaraas, the white spots stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. It says in the pasuk there, Adam ki yiyeh be'or bisaroi, sa pachasai baheres v'chulu. It says Adam, the highest level, when he'll get on his flesh, one of these types of spots.
Right.
So this is, wait a minute, the whole reason why this person's getting these spots is because there's something wrong. He's talking Lashon Hara.
Right.
He's a Baal Gaiva. He's greedy.
You would assume he's an
Ish. You would assume, call him Ish, call him Enosh.
Yeah.
Weakling. Oh, this guy's a weak person. That he's doing all this stuff. Why does it say
Adam? Okay.
So the Rebbe Rishab answers in the Maamar and Samach Vav that question. He has to ask the question, he answers.
Okay.
It says, with a preface, why is it that we don't get tzaraas now? Is because
we're not on a level.
We're not on the level of being able to get it.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Look at this. Look at this. Excellent.
Obviously, my wife found it. And because what's the deal? Is that a person who has tzaraas?
Right.
Is that he's perfected himself such that he's almost there.
He's holy enough that this could...
He's holy enough that
this would show
so
up.
That person for sure is an Adam. The only thing, there's some kind of external thing wrong. Now, where does it appear?
On his flesh.
On his skin.
On the outside part of his body.
Uh-huh. Okay? So now, we're talking here about the Bainini. That's what we're leading up to. This is Sefer Shel Bainini.
Right.
And so therefore, since we're talking about Sefer Shemini, okay, so we're talking about Klippa.
Right.
We're talking about the animal soul which comes from Klippa.
Right.
But we're talking about a Beinoni. We're talking about a person who is doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's firing on all cylinders.
Right, sure.
So that person is an Adam.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's nothing wrong with having an animal soul. And Adarabba, if a person didn't have an animal soul,
he wouldn't
get out of bed.
He
wouldn't, you can't function without one.
Right.
So it makes absolute sense as an indication. Sure. Alter Rebbe wants to indicate over here that who we're talking to is a person who's going to be able to control his animal has to be a person who we would call Adam.
An Adam.
Not an Ish, not a Gever, not an Enosh.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The Nefashes, Behemas, V'chayas, V'oifes, V'dagim, HaTahirim, HaMutarim, Ba'achila, V'kiyam, Ba'achila. And also the souls of all the animals, the domesticated animals, and the wild animals, and the birds, and the fish, which are permitted to be eaten.
Right.
Okay, you would call these things kosher.
Yeah.
All the kosher animals. V'kein kiyam v'chayas kol ha-maisid. No, he's going to learn. V'kiyas v'chayas kol ha-daimim. And so too also, all inanimate objects. There is nothing inherently bad about a rock.
Right.
You can't call it shalosh klippos ha-tameyos.
No.
Shalosh klippos ha-tameyos are those things that you are forbidden to have any use with. There's no such thing as a forbidden rock unless somebody uses it for idolatry, but... Even then.
So then is a pig?
A pig is an animal.
Yeah, so it clips tomatoes?
Shalosh klippos ha-tameyos, yes.
Yes? But nothing in the vegetable world or the animal world.
Well, we
world.
Said last week, we gave the example of adverse species that were grown together in the same field.
Right.
And fruit trees that are less than 3 years old.
Right, okay, yeah.
But those are forbidden.
So anything that would have, quote-unquote, I don't want to say life, because it doesn't necessarily fit, well...
Anything that falls into the category of diamond, an inanimate object, yes.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, there's no such thing as trafe water.
Okay, good.
Okay, or trafe air.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Right.
Or, for that matter, if you thought about it at a deeper level, trafe time. Time is also an inanimate object.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, there's no such thing as trafe time. Okay. It's what you do with it.
It's what you do with
it, right. Okay?
Yes.
So all of those things, so there's a lot of rocks out there.
Yeah.
Okay? The kol had, the kiyim comes out of the kol had tzameach u'matir b'achila, and all vegetation which you're allowed to eat, the cane, and also now, this is the point of what we want to talk about, kiyim v'chayis kol ma'isa dibur ma'achshava b'enyanei olam hazeh. The vitality and keeping to existence of every action, utterance, and thought,
right,
from worldly affairs, she'ein behem tzad iser, they're not forbidden. They are not a root or branch of any of the 365 prohibitions or any of their branches, whether they be rabbinic or from the Torah or rabbinic.
Right. Okay.
Meaning there is no way that you can ascribe an iser to it.
Right. Okay.
Which is a very interesting thing when you talk about isurim derabbanan. Rabbis have this tremendous kayach. Moshe Rabbeinu would invite you over to his house for supper.
Right.
And he would serve you a chicken cheeseburger. No problem.
Right.
Absolutely no problem. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Your wife makes a chicken cheeseburger. What happens?
It's absolutely true.
Your entire kitchen has to be kashered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is 100% trafe.
Right.
Okay? Why? It's because some rabbi 1,600 years ago
said,
you know, this idea of people eating chicken and milk kind of looks a lot like beef and milk.
And, right.
And so therefore, somebody's going to go looking at my house and say, I had the absolute most wonderful beef stroganoff at Rabbi Finman's house, and it was really turkey.
You're right.
Okay, and they're going to go home and they're going to say, make me beef stroganoff I had at Rabbi Finman's house.
Right, right, right.
So they considered this to be an absolute something to worry about.
Sure.
So what did this rabbi do? He said, that's it. From now on, chicken is fleishik. It's not that we're calling it fleishik.
It is
fleishik. It is fleishik now.
Right.
So what suddenly happened, there is now a whole paradigm shift as to how fowl are receiving their life force.
Interesting.
Up until before Shmuel, who was the one who introduced these things,
right.
Chicken received its life force in such a way that it was parv.
Okay.
Comes along now Shmuel and says, chickens are no longer parv, they're now fleishik. So now the chayas enlivening the chicken
changes.
Is totally different because Shmuel said it's leishik.
It's an interesting thought. I never thought of it. It's a powerful thought.
Is it arbitrary? No.
No.
It's not arbitrary because in order for the rabbanan to make any type of decree, assuring something which is permitted.
Right.
It has to be accepted by the majority.
Right.
So in Shmuel's day, in Babylon,
yeah,
everybody went along with it and said, okay, fine. From now on, no more chicken stroganoff. There is an organization known as the Beth Din of Baltimore.
Yeah.
In 1975, they came out with a proclamation that non-union lettuce was not kosher. And in any of their establishments, they would not allow non-kosher lettuce. It had to have the sign with the eagle with the whole business over there of the International Migrant Farm Workers Laborers Union on it.
Are you serious?
That's the way they came out. And what did the world do?
Ignore them.
They laughed.
Right.
So now, is non-union lettuce not kosher?
No.
No, you can eat non-union lettuce. That's a moot point. People don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
You know, so, but back then with, you know, Che, what's his name, you know? You remember that? He was big in Texas, organizing the migrant workers, the grape workers, the lettuce workers. I can't remember, not Che Guevara, he was down in Mexico. Che somebody else. But anyway, so what happens if the people don't accept what the Rabbanans say?
Right.
Don't do it, don't do it.
Right.
That's it, you know, so... So there are checks and balances.
Right. How in the world would... Well, that's a whole side story. Why in the world would they...
Why? Because they were being... You know, you can't have kosher food with inhumane treatment of people.
That was their thing.
Okay? Very similar to now what the conservative rabbinate is doing.
Yeah.
There is a conservative hashgacha now.
Really?
And their primary concern... is the humane treatment of the ingredients and the people working with them. That's their primary concern. Okay. So, it's got nothing to do with Shulchan Aruch, but, you know, it's you know, we want to say if it's going to be holy, you got to be nice to the people, you know, you got to be nice. You have to massage the cows before you slaughter
right.
them.
Check them, yes.
Yeah, so...
Okay, good.
So, now, would I trust the conservative hashgacha? Oh, no.
No.
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't think
100% that. Nothing. Yeah, no.
No.
I will go on record on that, so...
Yes.
I am. So this is a tremendous... But it's a tremendous kayach that the Rabbanan had. It's the same thing also with anything that was a prohibition of the Rabbanan.
Yeah, it didn't dawn on me because we've had some discussion in our Sefer Hanuk shir about you know rabbinic authority but it didn't dawn on me until you just said it that once this decree is made, yeah, the life force changes. Yeah,
what's really freaky is like. For example, kitnius on Pesach.
Yeah.
Okay. My sister married a Jewish man, Baruch Hashem, of Egyptian descent.
Really?
Yeah. And he was raised with
kitnius.
Fava beans and rice on Pesach.
Yeah, sure, of course, yeah.
So what does my sister make? Fava beans and rice on Pesach.
Yeah, sure.
She can eat it. Because she married a Sephardi man.
Right,
and her custom now has to follow her husband.
Right, right, right.
For me, it's chametz.
Right, sure, yeah.
Okay? She was raised in the same house I was.
Yeah.
But for her, it's 100% okay on Pesach. And for me, it's 100% not okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay? There's actually an interesting new hashgacha. It's called the Sephardi hashgacha. And that's one of the things they do.
Yeah.
Is they certify kitni as kosher for Pesach.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're going to eat rice, you got to make sure that there's no flour mixed into it.
Sure, of course, yeah, it makes sense.
So.
Wow. Interesting.
Raksha Ein L'Shem Shemayim. They are not in any way violating, in any way, shape, or form, any commandment or offshoot thereof. Raksha Ein L'Shem Shemayim. They are not being done for the sake of heaven. Meaning the kavana behind their usage is misguided. What are they there for? What is a person using it for? Because he wants to. This is what his deal is. Even if he absolutely needs it. Why is this person eating this food? He hasn't eaten all day. He's famished. Guess what? What he's done, as he's going to say later on over here, is he's caused the vitality which is in that food, which is from Klippas Noga, to descend into Klippa.
Yeah, to a lower place.
But he's hungry. Fine, good. Cows are hungry too. So he's eating like a cow. There's a little difference between the way that a cow eats and the way that he eats. Because a cow will stop eating when he's full.
Well, a cow won't eat something that's outside of its
that's right.
nature either.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cows will only eat things that are good for it, generally speaking. I mean, you know, you have that thistle stuff that they eat, you know what I mean? El Asher Kivanosa Ein L'Shem Shemayim. He's not thinking about Hashem.
Right.
Kidei la'avodas Hashem begufo, in order to serve Hashem with his body. La adifa ma'isa dibur machshavos elu menefesh hachayunas abahamas asmai. And it's not any, the thought, speech, and action are no better than the animal soul itself. V'hakol kasher l'kol nishba v'nimshuch v'medregas hasha'imis p'shabaklipa v'sitra achra. And all of this now, this stuff comes from, it derives its life force from the second level of klipa. Even though we said there are three, there are sholosh klipas and tameis, we said, are all always handled as one entity.
Right.
It's not that you can say one, this thing comes from that one of the three, and this thing comes from that. They come from three klipas of tameis. So there's basically two levels of klipa. Unelevatable klipa.
Right.
Which he calls totally unclean.
Yeah.
And then elevatable klipa, which he calls klipas noga. And it's also based on, the term klipas noga is based on the same place where he got his reference to Sholosh Klipas HaTameis, which is in the Merkava, the chariot of Yechezkel. Mm-hmm. Yechezkel saw a storm cloud and a whirlwind and a whatever. So and he
fire.
Says, and around a fire, and around the whole thing was a noga. It was surrounded by a shine. So that noga, quote unquote, represents the source of those things which are klipas noga. Okay, asma v'hakol kashal klipas v'sitcharacher shehu klipa revias hanikra klipas noga shabo ilam hazeh hanikra ilam hamaisa, which this world is called the world of action v'rubu kukule ra, and for the most part everything in this world fits into the category of klipa. Rak ma'at toiv ma'urav b'taychai. The thing is that when all this schmutz that's in the world, you got a little bit of good. And from this little bit of good which is mixed in the world, come the natural good qualities which are found in Jewish people, like we mentioned before, like we just talked about. So okay, so now, so what do we have over here? Is you have this fourth realm, or second, third realm. You have Kedusha, holiness.
Right.
You have total, complete unholiness.
Right.
And I don't like using the word, the term evil. Evil is a Christian word.
Yes, correct.
It's not, I mean, a pig isn't evil.
No, it's just not clean.
He just, it's unkosher. It's not holy.
It's
not evil. Some of my best friends are pigs. No, I won't go there.
Indeed.
Okay. Hubuchin is Mamutza Bain Sholish. And then we have this middle ground.
Right.
Which is what we're doing here for. Because the holy is holy regardless of what you do.
Right.
The unholy is going to stay holy regardless
of
what you
do.
No
matter what you do.
So the, only thing so the realm fact, that we have to work on, that we're making this quote unquote Dira B'tachtainim for Hashem, where we're improving the world, improving ourselves, is klipas noga. That's where the playing field is. V'hubuchinus mamutza bein shalosh klipas atameis legamri ubein v'hubuchinus madregas kedusha. And this third level is an intermediary between total holiness and total unholiness. How does klipa come into existence? How was klipa created?
It's the Simpson. It's the cover.
Yeah, exactly. It's a product of
Simpson.
The creation process, which means, so what was, when you say Tzimtzum, what was Mitzamtzing? What was contracted?
Hashem.
Yeah. So what is it that's enlivening klipa, even the worst levels of klipa?
Hashem.
So that tells me that there is some good in even shalosh klipas atameis.
Right.
The problem is because of the structure of it, you can't get the holiness out of it. That's where the problem
is. We don't have the capacity.
We do not. That's is the...
That belongs to somebody else or something else or God or
that's what
whatever.
When Mashiach comes, he talks about that, we'll talk about that in the next, next page. So then what Mashiach, one of the things Mashiach does is he breaks the structure of Shalosh HaKlipas HaTameis. thus releasing the godliness, the holiness, which is enlivening it. Okay, so everything has good in it.
Yeah.
It's just that you can't do anything with it.
Yeah, it's not our world.
Now, when you're talking about...
place to touch it.
Yeah, when you're talking about, for example, a pig. So, a pig, the only way that it's not kosher is for eating purposes.
Right.
You can't eat a pig.
Right.
Can you wear hush puppies? Can you play football?
Of course, yes.
Can you use a pig vein?
Yeah, sure.
Pig insulin?
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Just a matter of consumption.
Yeah. It's just sticking it in your mouth you're not allowed to do.
Right.
Because it says lo sechelu.
Right.
You're not allowed to eat it. So, but anything else you can do with a pig, no problem.
Goes into hay.
Exactly. As opposed to, say, something which is prohibited to have benefit from.
Yeah, okay.
Like milk and meat cooked together
right.
is worse of a prohibition because you can't give milk and meat away as a gift.
Yes.
Because you're getting benefit. You are getting benefit because someone is now, you are creating a relationship between this person with whom you're giving this milk and meat together, and there is a goodwill which is established.
Right.
So you benefit from in that. You're not allowed to.
It's interesting.
What do you think?
This is not for the...
Pause. Lachain, therefore, pamim shehi nechleles b'sholosh klipas atameyos. Therefore, since it could go either way, sometimes it descends into the realm of total impurity, as it says in Eitz Chaim Sharmem Tesda Reish Perek Dalad b'shem Azor. Upamim shehu nechleles fa'ola. Sometimes it's incorporated and it rises v'bukinis madrigas kedusha to the level of holiness. When would that be? The Hayakasha Teva Ma'urivba, that means to say, when the good, meaning the holiness, the Elokus, which is mixed into this klippa, is Nisbara Mehara, is purified from the evil, the Gaivar Va'ila V'nichla B'kedusha, and rises up, and is included and incorporated in holiness. Like, for example, Gunder Mushel, Ha'echel Bisser Shemena Datura, a person who eats fat ox meat, Vesheyse Yayin Mavusam, and drinks spiced wine, Laharchiv Daita La Hashemel Tarasri, in order to expand his mind to Hashem so that he can learn Torah better. So in other words, why is he eating the food? He's not eating the food because he's hungry. He's eating the food in an attempt to have a better understanding of the Torah. That's called L'shem Shemayim. That's called for the sake of heaven. That's called in order to help make the world a better place.
Right.
Kidama Rabba, as Rabba says, Chamra v'recha pikin is the rest of the expression. Rabba says, wine and fragrance make the person smarter. Or he's doing it for some reason, like for example, to fulfill the mitzvah of eating delicacy on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Now there is the famous story, which you probably have heard, that the Baal Shem Tov was talking about this idea of mitzvahs and eating on Shabbos and this type of stuff.
Right.
So one of the students asked, so it sounds like what you're saying is that you can eat really as much as you want and how much you want on Shabbos. And it's fine because you're eating it, you know, and it's a Shabbos, it's a meal, it's, you know, supposed to eat on Shabbos, so you're doing it. He said, come with me.
Right.
Okay, so they went and they looked in a window of somebody who was in one of the balabatim.
Right.
And he was sitting there eating cholent.
Right.
And he was so into the cholent, there he was with his shtreimel and his kapata. The guy looked like a cow.
Right.
He had been incorporated in the cholent.
Right.
Why was he eating cholent specifically? Because it was Shabbos.
Right.
But why was he eating the cholent?
Because it was cholent.
Because it tasted good.
Yeah.
So he became, so what happened with him is he lowered himself down to the level of the cholent rather than raising the cholent up.
Right.
Even though he was eating it on Shabbos.
Right.
Okay, so, because in other words, even when a Shabbos, what does a person have to do is, I'm eating this, like covered Shabbos Kedesh.
Right.
Yeah, my brother has a friend who was involved with Karl Bach and ate over his house. And before he would eat, like, with every course that was brought for Shabbos, so he would say, oh, Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh. You know, kind of like remind himself, the reason why I'm eating this is not because it tastes so good, is but
right.
because it's a mitzvah to eat Lekavod Shabbos.
Right.
So in other words, what we're going to say over here, what the Alter Rebbe wants to say over here, is if you're doing things because you want to, then what happens to the vitality of Klipas Noga is it sinks into Shalosh Klipas Etan Meis. If a person is doing it because Hashem wants to, so then it becomes elevated and incorporated into the realm of holiness. Okay, so I have a very mathematical brain.
Okay.
And I think mathematically quite often. So there is an algebraic formula which best describes the situation.
Okay.
It's X, which X, your variable is any permitted item.
Yes.
Plus the right intention, and plus kavana, equals holiness.
Okay.
So whatever it is, you fill in the blank. I am eating this burger because I need the strength to go serve Hashem.
Right.
So then eating the burger becomes an act of holiness.
Right.
Then what happens is there's purified the chayas, the godliness, which has gone into this meat and wine, which is causing it to exist as meat and wine. Shehi nishba meklipas noga, which initially was derived from klipas noga, va'oila l'Hashem, and it rises to Hashem, meaning it is elevated to the realm of holiness, ka'oila k'karban, like a carbon oila, which was totally, completely burned on the altar and used as a vehicle for getting closer to Hashem. And that happens with anything that a person does for the right reason. Why does a person go to work? A person's going to work to make money, so he's a donkey.
Right.
But if he's going to work in order to be able to provide his family a lifestyle, which is demanded of a Jew, so then going to work becomes holy. Why is a person going on vacation? Because he needs to go on vacation so he should be able to work.
Right.
In order that he should be able to provide the lifestyle. So it doesn't have to be directly. Why is it he's on vacation in order to facilitate something which is going to facilitate?
Right. Even then, it's
right.
It's elevated.
And even sitting and doing nothing. Why is it a person sitting and doing nothing? I'm sitting and doing nothing so that I be able to garner the strength to be able to go to do something to serve Hashem, so learn something, to some mitzvah, etc.
If your whole motive is
The motivation behind it is
to
correct. So what does that take? 5 seconds.
Contemplation.
Do I need to eat this? For what reason am I going to eat this?
Any godly contemplation.
Yeah. So technically speaking, people who are adherents to Chabad philosophy should be skinny moral people.
Well.
On that note.